Hi, this is Rachel Stewart, and you're with Riding Shotgun. Welcome back. Despite the re-election of Trump, the liberal, progressive, or woke movement won't be dying an easy death anytime soon. Nope, it'll gurgle and gasp and rattle and wheeze, and even if it does eventually expire, we'll always need to be on the lookout for it coming back to life as a silent, shuffling zombie intent on human flesh. We all know that our bureaucracies, academia, and whatever's left of legacy media are infested with it, and that extracting it will be a never-ending task. Sure, the tide is going out on this latest iteration of Marxism, but don't think for one moment that the fight is over. They will scratch and bite and claw their way out of a metaphorical corner, and anyone who believes otherwise is dreaming. One of the reasons they will keep waging war is rooted in psychosis, but my contention is that the biggest battle to overcome is ego. Yes, ego. We all have one, and it can be a force for good when it's balanced and regulated. When someone has a large ego, they totally believe they're very important and valuable, even over and above others. And if they have a massive ego, they will never admit they're wrong. Never, ever, ever. Which clearly means they're tipping into narcissism. But for our purposes, let's stay with the word old-fashioned ego. The problem is that an outsized ego can be the direct result of low self-esteem, which does not make for a good mix out in the real world around real people. British author and journalist Melanie Phillips explains far better than I why so many no-skin-in-the-game liberal progressive supporters of Palestine, in other words, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, can't possibly countenance the idea that they could be wrong.
The Western liberal mind conceives of itself as being good because it's liberal. The Western liberal tells him or herself, I'm a good person because I'm liberal. I'm liberal because I'm a good person, which means that I believe in things like the brotherhood of man, conscience and compassion, looking after the wretched of the world, the poor, the wretched of the world, standing up against abuses of power. These are all good things, and that's why I'm a liberal. And I'm a liberal because of all these good things. So, one of the expressions of my goodness and my liberalism is that I support the Palestinian Arabs, who I think are an oppressed people, and they are oppressed by the Israelis, who have taken their land away from them, and they are oppressing them. Now, every part of that, in my view, is a lie. But put that to one side. This is what the liberal progressive thinks. And the liberal progressive thinks that supporting the Palestinians is therefore something that makes the liberal progressive a good person. October 7 happened, and suddenly you have a situation in which the people that the liberal progressive has supported as being oppressed, and everything they do is a legitimate defense or resistance against oppression, suddenly we can see that those people have turned into the most bloodthirsty savages that could ever be imagined. Not just people who kill, but who slaughter in a sadistic, barbaric, debauched and depraved fashion that people can't imagine ever happening. They have slaughtered, raped, beheaded, tortured, burned alive babies, children, women, elderly men, and others, and in which the people that they have supported as being oppressed are good people because they're victims, are these savages. And the people they have represented as oppressors are the victims. They can't have that. Because if they have that, if they admit that that is the case, then their entire worldview is shattered because the people, you know, The cause they have supported as representing goodness is shown to be evil. And what does that make them? It makes them evil. So they can't have it. So what do? They go to extraordinary lengths to pretend that black is white, that justice is injustice, that oppression is resistance, and vice versa. So they have to represent the Israelis as being at fault. The Israelis are to blame for what's happened. So there is no better way of blaming people than accusing them of the very thing they are the victim of.
Projection.
So you accuse them of genocide. We hear it also regularly. The Israelis are accused of being Nazis. It's the same thing. It's not simply an offensive thing. It's a very deliberate thing. Because if the Israelis are Nazis, then we are free. We, the liberal West, are free of any kind of guilt or any kind of association with bad things, because they are to blame. They are the people who are bad. And so we are free to continue with our fantasies of us being good people. And I think that's also what lay behind these amazing scenes that we saw on social media of people with their hands tearing down
the posters
of the hostages. Now, you have to ask yourself, what's going through the mind of someone like that? These weren't posters advertising Israel. They weren't advertising the Israeli Defense Forces. They were pictures of babies, of children, of women who had been kidnapped by bloodthirsty monsters, by savage, depraved savages, and were being almost certainly subjected to untold horrors. And yet they were torn down, and the faces of the people tearing them down were contorted very often with rage and hate. And you have to ask yourself, what's going on in the mind of that person? And it seemed to me that they had to literally with their fingernails tear it out of sight. It was something that could not be tolerated to be in existence at all. The very concept of the Israeli babies and children as victims of the people they had been supporting, because it contradicted the narrative on which they had hung their own moral worth. And it seemed to me also they were tearing the Jews out, trying to tear the Jewish people completely out of their world, out of their sight, out of their world, out of their minds, out of their thoughts, and out of their consciences. That's to me what it represented. And this whole inversion of genocide thing is part of that. It is not just disgusting. It is not just ridiculous. It's evil. And I think it is a symptom of the evil paths into which the West has fallen through its embrace of a whole range of ideologies, a whole range of thinking, which I think has come to define what we call the liberal progressive West.
Applying such eminently sound logic, think about all the people you know, family, friends, neighbours, who morphed into rabid, frothing pro-jabbers and mandators during the COVID years. Now, given the benefit of time and hindsight, have you ever been apologised to by any of them or heard them admit out loud that they might have been wrong to treat you or others that way? I'm sure it's probably happened, and it probably is happening, but it hasn't happened to me personally. How about you? I do hear many say they'd never get the jab again, but that's about it. And you wonder, given how easily they fell for it the first time, whether they'll discover some previously well-hidden critical thinking skills when another fear-mongering campaign rises up out of the global swamp again, as it will. Here's another example of the egos we're up against. Trump and every sane person on the planet wants men out of women's sports, and he signed an executive order to that effect after his first few days in office. Here he is just a couple of weeks ago speaking to a room full of state governors. Maine's Democratic governor, Janet Mills, had other ideas.
Is the Maine here, the governor of Maine? Well, are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal
laws. We are the federal law. Mm-hmm. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. And enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be in elected politics.
Want to hear an understatement? The Democratic sisterhood doesn't like Trump. I'm thinking here specifically of all the Democratic female lawmakers who turned up in pink to Trump's joint speech to Congress last week. Apparently it was a protest akin to marching while wearing all those pink pussy hats back in 2017 when he first became president. So an ego run rampant also requires that the owner of it doesn't do irony. Because the very day before, the same Pink Girls Brigade voted down the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, with it crashing and burning before reaching the 60 votes needed to advance, halting the proposal that had passed in the House in January. Every Democrat involved voted against it. So on one hand, they see Trump as a misogynistic woman-hater hell-bent on taking their rights away, while on the other hand, they have total blinders on about their own part in trashing their sisters by allowing males to compete against them on the sports field and take their medals away. Easy peasy. All of this despite a New York Times Ipsos poll from January, which found 89% of Americans oppose transgender female athletes, or men in other words, competing in women's sports. Yes, that was the New York Times in New York home of progressive liberality. So there's no reasoning with the woke except at the ballot box, and yet having been roundly thrashed there, they're still doubling down. The author of Trans, When Ideology Meets Reality, is journalist Helen Joyce. Now, a better book in content and tone you will not find. Here she has explained to Peter Boghossian why she believes the trans cult will not be going away anytime soon, and she is a person who should know.
And the trouble is there's a lot of people, something that you may not have thought of is that there's a lot of people who can't move on this, because that's the people who've transitioned their own children. So those people are going to be like, you know, the Japanese soldiers who were on Pacific Islands and didn't know the war was over.
Right.
They've got to fight forever. This is why, this is another reason why this is the worst social contagion that we'll ever have experienced. A lot of people have done the worst thing that you could do, which is to harm their children irrevocably because of it. Those people will have to believe that they did the right thing for the rest of their lives, for their own sanity and for their own self-respect. So they'll still be fighting. And each one of those people destroys entire organisations and entire friendship groups. Like, I've lost count at the number of times that somebody has said to me of a specific organisation that has got turned upside down on this. Oh, the deputy director has a trans child, or, you know, oh, the journalist on that paper who does special investigations has a trans child, or whatever. The entire organisation gets paralysed by that one person, and it may not even be widely known at the organisation that they have a trans child, but it will come out, like people will have sort of said it quietly, and now you can't talk truth in front of that person, and you know you can't, because what you're saying is you as a parent have done a truly, like, human rights abuse level of awful thing to your child that cannot be fixed. There are specific individuals who are really actively against women's rights here, and it's not known why they are, but I happen to know through the back channels that it's because they've trans their child. And so those people will do anything for the entire rest of their lives to destroy me and people like me, because people like me are a standing reproach to them. I don't want to be. I'm not talking directly to them. I don't spend my time bitching about them. But the fact is that just simply by saying, we will never accept NATO males in women's spaces, well, it's their son that we're talking about. And they've told their son that he can get himself sterilised and destroy his sexual function, and women will accept him as a woman. And if we don't, there's no way back for them and their child. They've sold their child a bill of goods that they can't deliver on. And I'm the one who has to be bullied to try to force me to deliver on it. So those people are going to be the people who will keep this bloody movement going, I'm sorry to say, because they've everything to lose. And it's a fight to the death as far as they're concerned.
So there you have it. Do not be fooled into taking your foot off the gas. Woke egotists abound. They will not go gently into that long night, and neither should you or us. And common sense won't get rid of maladjusted egos overnight, but it will happen. And I mean, egotists aren't all bad, though, because if you're stuck talking to them at a cocktail party, at least they don't talk about other people. There is that. So I want to thank you for all your positive feedback from my first show. Everyone has been so positive, and it's been very uplifting, and I will be focusing on a social media recording coming out soon where I will speak to some of the comments. Some of your comments. And if you want to let me know what you think about the show and anything raised in it, you can email inbox@realitycheck.radio or text 2057. I'd look forward to hearing from you, and see you next week. Cheers.